Where are we going? Welcome to this exclusive podcast produced by Spirit Watch Ministries that will show where life in our darkening times is now turning and how you can avoid the detours of deception through the hope of biblical truth. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 24 warned us over 2 millennia ago and how urgently we need to heed him now. Our host is Pastor Rafael Martinez, a seasoned Northwest Indiana-based minister, intercessor, and counter-cult apologist who will help you discern the journey of change we're all on as the last day of the last days now winds down. For more information, check out our Facebook page and our website at spiritwatch.org. Now, here's Pastor Rafael.
Hello, I'm Rafael Martinez, a minister in the Church of God Cleveland movement, and thanks for taking the time to download our podcast, Where Are We Going? In this weekly cast, we explore some hard questions about the deceptive and destructive power that's wielded by cultism and abusive churches all around us. Exponentially growing assault on biblical truth and Christian community has continued unabated in our time, and our counter-cult activism ministry has tried to withstand some of that. We've also beheld our world's cultural and geopolitical dysfunction so continually that's led us to ask the same question that we believe is in everyone's minds. Where are we going? It's one of the kinds of questions asked by so many of our times, and this is one attempt to engage those. This podcast is one of the services of Spirit Watch Ministries, an outreach of discernment in our deceptive world that has been ongoing since 1993. You can learn more about us at our website, spiritwatch.org, and keep up to date using our Facebook and YouTube links there on the page as well. We're always seeking new audiences, and we'd appreciate the help spreading the word around your internet community about our podcast. Let people know that we're now found on Spotify, Google, and Amazon podcast channels. And if you're here visiting, thank you so very much. Please come again and invite others. Now, if you've been following our podcasts, our research articles, and anything we've been doing for the past 3 years, you're aware that the deceptive work of the Xenos Dwell movement in Columbus, Ohio continues to be on our radar, as it should be for every thinking and discerning Christian believer there in the middle Ohio Valley and beyond. And it's certainly caught the attention for all the wrong reasons of too many in Ohio these days. Churches that go wrong are part of the norm these days, and too many secular media outlets from network newsrooms to TikTok seek juicy stories about them. Stories of scandal to tell for popular consumption. But this sordid spectacle should not be just casually noted as the spice of a social media feed, something you can scroll past and easily forget. A church that claims to speak exclusively for God Almighty, the ultimate authority in existence, and speaks in his authority over a fallen world order while committing ungodly evils behind multiple masks of virtue, is one of the most destructive forces unleashed upon unsuspecting society. It is energized by the demonic while serving the darkness of human nature. It's why Jesus so plainly warned his disciples, which we remind our audiences daily in every podcast announcement we make here, that they should take heed that no man deceive them. These days, sadly, a lot of that is going around. The Buckeye State of Ohio and others are daily stalked by these kinds of deceptive movements, and yet the moral depravity of their plain hypocrisy is so readily tolerated in our fallen culture today that no one publicly wants to deal with it, to discuss it, much less oppose it. With all the cultural insanity of the past several years, nobody wants to come off as extreme, who'd rather look the other way and live in their own blissful bubble of ignorance, so self-imposed. So therefore, Xenos Dwell and other Buckeye cults like the Way International, the Gladstone Mass Movement, and a vast plethora of abusive churches across the state get their collective cultural past to be as cultic as they want to be. And you know, Jesus said it would be that way in Matthew 24, as we've been mentioning. No surprise there, it's where we've been going, as we've been saying. So our ministry has chosen to be involved for the simple reason that the New Testament mandate given by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:11 says so. Paul required those ancient believers to avoid such places, to run from them, and to bring light on their dark deeds for all to see. Now, Xenos Dwell does a lot of church things and heaps to itself the praise of evangelical leaders from all over for those very church things. while inviting other churches to view and cooperate with them as just another non-traditional Christian assembly they can work with. But the intolerant hypocrisy and abuse they submit their own college constituency behind closed doors with is a wickedness that should be called out for what it is. And we're just doing what the Bible says for us to do. And we haven't looked back, and we make no apologies for calling out that corruption that we are beholding there. For our podcast today, we just want to summarize where things stand in the present tension this cultic church is perpetuating with an increasingly vocal populace of dissidents increasingly speaking out about all around them. This confrontation continues to brew daily, and one thing can definitely be said about the Zionist Well movement today.
The heat is on. The heat is on. The heat is on. What's on the street? The heat is on.
Zionist Well claims to be a Christian church, just out spreading the Christian gospel in non-traditional fashion. Now, if that was what they actually were, this Christian minister would have long ago bid them Godspeed and moved on. But their flawless recital of sound doctrine isn't what is at issue. Not all that glitters is gold, as the old saying says, and that's so much the truer here. For all their doctrinal purity, their legions of shiny disciples, and all their religious busy work of group meetings, Bible studies, and the small group bear hug they beckon their members to immerse themselves in, Zionist Well is not what it appears to be. Enough testimony as to an astonishingly well-developed network of abusive coercion and controlling socialization that Zionist Well relies upon, the function actually demonstrates this quite well. Their staff's pile of seminary degrees, awards, and all their schmoozing with Christendom notwithstanding, their proselytizing zeal ultimately has been adrift from sound anchorage for years. For all their talk about loving God, loving people, and loving the world, their abuse of their own disciples is no longer able to be hidden, even if their leadership refuses to even admit there's a problem, with an arrogant truculence common to all self-righteous elites found in cultic high places. Zionist Well's founding elders Dennis McCallum and Gary DeLashman have for decades fostered a culture within it devoted to this sort of deceptive bait-and-switch activity. They affirm the standard evangelical confessions. They affirm biblical truth, all the while cheerfully indoctrinating a generation of new leaders with their own humanistic modeling of corporate crowd control, which they liken to Christian discipling. They program their leaders to assume that what they call love and grace actually heaps condemnation and judgment upon their own. Zionist Well leaders are the poster children for the scenario the Apostle Paul warned would come. They are angels of light, as spoken of by him, and they shine quite well. We've named these leaders. We've documented the evil. We've called upon them to confess and repent of their hateful intolerance, and we're just not too surprised that there's no takers at Zionist Central to display even the slightest bit of contrition. Self-exoneration has been, so far, the general attitude that the cult's leadership displays, as this recording of Dwell Senior Pastor Ryan Lowry from March 2022 has made this all too clear.
I think by his mercy and his great kindness, God loves this church. I think he still has great plans for us. And I don't think we should live in fear that there's some great problem that we just can't see. We should stop casting about and theorizing about how to fix our problems. I think we know what the problems in this church are, because we all experience them. We didn't see them on NBC or write them in the, or read them written in the Dispatch. Those are exaggerated characterizations that only contain the smallest kernels of truth.
Ryan's assertion is quite unmistakable. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. There are no problems with our church. This is the attitude Zionist Well abides by even now, even as the truth is vastly more substantial than they'll ever dare admit. What Ryan goes on to say is to remind the listeners that they should ensure it's their own sin that isn't finding them out, and that their abuses of power and authority there are actually stamped with divine approval.
I think we should have the humility and courage to confront the unclean aspects of our own hearts. If our goal is to make the attacks stop, then I think we have actually missed the real point. This is about being obedient to God. I think we need to be prepared to face the reality that this kind of criticism in the media may become the new normal. The question that I want to ask is, how do we withstand these attacks? I think most of us knew for certain, if we absolutely knew, the result, these attacks were the result of being obedient to God. We just knew. We're getting attacked because we've been obedient. I think it wouldn't hurt. In fact, I think we might rejoice that we were considered worthy of that kind of attack. The pain from this attack comes from not being sure. We have doubts whether it's just the result of being a good church or whether we are deeply broken.
Lowry's ongoing deflection of any attention as to whether there actually might be some seriously warped deficiencies in the Zenos Dwell hothouse continues here. Listen closely to his masterclass of evasion that spins faster than a Maytag as he redefines their pain from the scrutiny of their church as just a kind of friendly fire they can readily snuff out, that it's not the result of anything like a true perception of witnessed abuse.
Those doubts have their roots in two places. One, we may have a guilty conscience about things we've done, and we haven't repented of them. If we're going to withstand this criticism, we each are going to require a clear conscience for our behavior. Two, we may have suspicions towards others that we haven't addressed. In this case, we need to drop any unwarranted criticism of our brothers and sisters in Christ, or we need to move toward them to resolve them with grace and forgiveness.
Ryan's goal here is to redefine the conviction of wrongdoing as one of misplaced loyalty and personal moral failing. It's one of the clearest examples of thought-controlling cultism I think I've ever seen as displayed by their leadership. It's a classic dodge exalting Zenos Dwell's sick system as divinely ordained, untouchable, sacrosanct, and any human handling of its holy principles as being the actual source of error through contamination. This demand is for the Zenos Dwell rank and file to acknowledge their movement as the embodiment of God's sacred science. This is a rationale cultic mind control as set forth by any good cult leader around. And he concludes it with a pious couplet meant to light their way onward as opposition to Zenos Dwell stiffens.
The way forward is to have a clear conscience about our behavior and to have confidence in the ability and the goodness of our brothers and sisters.
There's a verse in the Bible about how a moral faculty like conscience can be virtually burnt out in the personality of a false teacher. You can read this in 1 Timothy 4, verse 2. And Ryan Lowry's self-righteous bluster in this great audio clip is Exhibit A here. The heat truly is on, and the cooks aren't sure how to keep their pancakes from being burnt. You see, Zenos Dwell's long-standing multi-generational evangelism strategy rests upon church-operated middle and high school structures of institutional outreach that have existed for well over 40 years. This needs to be remembered. They draw upon other local church schools and charity connections outside of Zenos Dwell to find even more recruits. These are the most aggressively worked fields the church labors in so as to ingratiate itself into the attentions of hundreds of thousands of young Christian men and women for the past 50 years for the sole purpose of recruitment to the Zenos Dwell bandwagon. Whether being born into the church as Zenos babies, as some have called them, or being recruited in a middle school inner city outreach, the flow of youth has flowed into Zenos to become a married, then middle-aged Zenos Dwell couples and tithe payers who keep the movement solvent, both socially and financially. Because of the unique settings where these outrages of conscience, religious abuses, and social ostracizing occur are within Cenos Dwell's small group and home church systems, it's important to also review how methodically it functions and how it recruits new blood. In past interviews with myself and Megan Cox, XenosIsACult.com founder Mark Kennedy helped concisely explain this cultural machinery from his own perspective.
I was in for 3 years. I joined in 8th grade and I left about kind of middle of 10th grade. It was very candy and sweets and happiness at the start, and it felt pretty amazing to suddenly have a social group of 20 or 30 people. You know, I was 14, 15, and some of these people were college students. You know, they seemed cool.
I later learned this is a manipulation tactic called love bombing, where members will act like your best friends to basically get you hooked into the system.
For the first 6 months to a year, you think you're actually with a really friendly, outgoing group of people, but the further more receptive you are to the gospel and the group, the more quickly they will get you hooked in with a discipler.
Is a discipler like a mentor?
It's much more deceptive than that. So they look like your friend, but in reality, they're way more manipulative. They present themselves as somebody who's talking to a young person to guide them in the right path. But over time,
they'll slowly separate these members from the outside world, so they really don't have anybody else in their life except Xenos. And then what they'll do is,
they'll ask you certain questions to get certain bits of information from you, and they will use that information against you.
So there was a point where you just couldn't ignore it anymore?
No, I couldn't.
Cultic movements like Xenos know that in order for them to recruit and retain members,
getting access to an individual's intimate secrets, they can use that as leverage to further indoctrinate people into the organization.
These disciplers will very carefully control the pathway of the high school students and move them into the college group. So you're in a college group, you can't live on your own really, or they'll harass you.
Yeah.
So your dorm will be your ministry house.
What is that?
Ministry houses are basically residential dorms for college students in Xenos.
The college ministry houses are horrible places. It's like one of the worst spots of abuse. I remember one of them had like 13 beds in a single room, and you're constantly being, you know, evaluated, and they're so adept at removing themselves from liability. So Dwell Community Church does not own any of these ministry houses. They just say on their website how these ministry houses should be run.
The ministry house leadership operates completely autonomously from the senior leadership in the church.
So therefore, the abuses run rampant.
If you're living in a room as an anti-sex, anti-masturbation method of control, I guess, the only way to get out is to get married. So there's an incentive for members to marry early, and they want them to kind of get wrapped up in the manufacturing line that is Xenos.
They believe that if they can get college-age students to live within the ministry houses, they would meet people to marry, and then of course they'll have children who will then contribute to a new generation of growth for the church.
And then the whole religious machinery of self-propagation rolls on. Xenos Dwell members who marry within the movement become the choice cogs in the mechanisms that guarantee the movement's ongoing future. They become evangelists for the Xenos Dwell vision. They contribute to attracting and recruiting youth in the Xenosian school systems they send their Xenos babies to. Their children become who they once were, bright-eyed kids shuttling to religious rallies, field trips, and inevitably private time with equally bright eyes that Xenos disciples indoctrinate them with in the rosy glow of attachment to God's church. As the parents grow into their house church membership, they hang up on every teaching they're steered to observe. Their children get socialized into the same Xenos-focused agenda, and the whole process generationally starts all over again. This provides a steady deployment of young hearts and minds whose participation comes under the dispassionate consideration of Xenos Dwell purists, bean counters, and analysts, whose exhortation of submission to authority is offered as readily as rebuke and intimidation for being found short of their glory. They become the property of the latest 5-year plan of Xenos. They become commodities of koinonia. They'll readily break apart to fill empty sofas in struggling house churches all around. They will be the new populace of laborers who will silently submit to the direction and the lambasting of disciples hardly any older than they and with little to no much more life experience much less tested a character to govern by. It's a problem of profoundly critical immaturity and carnality, which sets unstable leaders upon struggling followers supposedly to mature them, with the results being typically quite desperate. With the results being anything but Christian maturity. It's at that point that the abuses and crises of leadership that have caused no end of well-hidden suffering in the cult's rank and file become most apparent. Supposedly confidential personality profiles and surveys completed and compiled by the Xenos Dwell scribes of various individuals there, they get flagged, reviewed, and shared among others to focus on and specifically in the examination of those who don't fit well and who need special attention. These hidden databases held by Xenosian leadership are drawn upon by anxious disciples who want to maintain a tight control over their disciples for reasons made all too obvious, as this former member we won't identify has well described.
Yeah, so you'd have to fill out this document and compare notes, and oftentimes, I would say most times, this document was filled out about people, and they were unaware that they were being observed. And if I'd go away on vacation for 2 weeks, you would get frequently texted, how are things going? You'd be monitored. If you were on vacation with someone, say, that they did not approve of, and in my case, it was someone who had left the church, gone to another church, and they were so worried about how I would change after I got back, and they would pray and pray and pray, but you have to keep yourself immersed in prayer and in the Bible in order to remain in that state of mind that they need to keep you in, and they worry. And whether consciously or unconsciously, they want to keep you on task so that you don't break away from that behavior, because otherwise you start to question things. And when you do question things, which is a healthy habit, it's healthy for people to question what they're dedicating their, 4, 5, 6 days a week to doing activities in the church. It's healthy to question it, but their default weapon is to say that this is Satan. You're experiencing cognitive dissonance. And that's Satan waging a battle against you. And it was so pervasive and so intrusive. And I'm so glad that I left.
And we are too. But unfortunately, far too many have remained and endure regular dressing down by their mentors and leaders for having failed to measure up. And in this puritanical rush to judgment, Xenos Dwell leaders have been found castigating, mocking, and abusing those who morally and mentally struggle. Using their esoteric collections of personal observations and that they've made on them, these so-called disciples coldly use the intimacy of private sharing in personal and group settings to turn withering criticism and Bible verses taken out of context into whiplashes across their bared spiritual shoulders. Xenos Dwell leaders are all too ready to become the third member of the triune God when it comes to disciplining their own. They become judge, summon a jury, and transform it into a pack of executioners within small group settings. It is this destiny for anyone who might not measure up to Xenos Dwell standards to be brought under peer sanctions that are enforced social distancing, in which the struggling member comes under this standard. More than enough discussion of that has gone here. We won't belabor the point. And this is what is behind the agenda that Xenos Dwell has planned in its ministry to each and every young prospective young man and woman caught up in their recruitment, and who, as Ryan Lowry has sniffed, not ready for the Xenosian flavor of church time. You wonder how many of these kids who've hung out at Calumet School pizza bashes and gone on field trips to Cozy are even aware of this. Here's a secret. They aren't. It's not a spiritual engrafting of young Christians into a haven of God's design, but a calculated pruning, a forcing of people of people made up of square cogs into round holes. As the past couple of years have rolled on, the outcries of a lot of outraged people who've been on the receiving end of abusive harangues by Zenas Dwell's disciples have resonated throughout many media circles. And our attempts to create a documentary on them came on the heels of a groundswell of activism that's been going on against the cult up to this very day. From people taking to the internet to demand exposure of their activity and a variety of different other things. What their leaders like to characterize as this cable of godless media mavens conspiring to bring them down was actually the fruit of their own generational abuse of so many people. For our part, we've contributed a few podcasts, our research articles, and have noted that while Zenas Dwell has continued to bear the brunt of criticism, they've also plainly refused to display even the shadowy acknowledgement of the faith's bit of contrition over what's gone on. These grotesque creatures of abuse are what Zenas Dwell insists are the responsible actions of biblical Christianity and have been staunchly defended by the leaders at the highest levels. That's the present state of affairs that should be kept in mind. Don't let their four-color ad print fool you into thinking they're somehow humbler and teachable now. They are anything but. And don't let this sobering lament of a Redditor and home church member become something that you'll painfully amend someday.
The religious community Zenos is neither religious or a community, but a collective and a creed. Zenos undermines both religion and community to serve the human god of expansion, power, and influence. They crusade in the name of the sacred for that of which is of the profane. Every action is directed solely towards serving this god. New people are viewed as beachheads into new demographic pipelines. Every action carrying the facade of altruistic kindness is purely directed towards this end goal. Unable to cope with this contradicting reality, followers of Zenos push this desire into the unconscious, where it enters a compensatory reaction formation, which culminates consciously in their seemingly kind behavior.
Thanks for listening today as we explore just where are we going. Our prayer is that you have been encouraged and strengthened, and if necessary, challenged in your daily journey through life. Jesus is coming. You can fall with the night, or you can rise with the sun. The choice is yours. You can email us with questions and comments at feedback@spiritwatch.org. And if you need urgent personal spiritual help, email us at help@spiritwatch.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Please follow our podcasting at our Facebook page and our website at spiritwatch.org. This podcast is a production of Spirit Watch Ministries, taking heed that no man deceives you.
Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.